Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. People's lives are in shambles, they're wasted away. They're cracked to pieces with no place to go. They run to doctors, they take pills, they try medicines, counseling doesn't work. Because kings, horses, and men can't do a thing. But the King of all glory can take the broken shell. He can take the broken pieces of your life and put it back together again. The King of all heaven can take everything, the yoke that's built about, and put it back in. He can make you complete. He can fix what doctors can't fix. He can fix what's broken. Don't forget about the King of all glory. Men can't do it. Horses can't do it. But our King and our Savior today, He can do it. If you have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and turn over to John. I'm going to do the best that I can. Y'all do pray for me. If I start coughing, I'm going to go ahead and apologize. Your Bible quiz is pretty easy. What's the first and the last words of the Bible? What is it? What's the first word of the Bible? What's the last word? Me too, I'm in. Amen. And I pray that you're in. Amen too. If you're not tonight, you can get in. And the only way in is through the truth and the life, and that's through the Son, Jesus Christ. Two older Christian couple, they're in their late 70s. Godly couple, grew up in church, were married for a long, long time. Got on up in age and they started forgetting things. They made a pact with each other. They said, no matter what, we're going to start writing everything down. That way we don't forget what we're supposed to remember. So they agreed to it. So they carried around notebooks everywhere they went. Well, one night they were sitting there watching TV. And the wife looks over at the husband and says, would you like some ice cream? He says, yes, I would like some ice cream. I would like chocolate ice cream with whipped cream and nuts, please. She said, okay, I'll be right back. He said, no, no, you need to write that down. Remember, we agreed. She says, I'm not going to forget chocolate ice cream, whipped cream, and nuts. I'll be right back. Well, she was gone about 45, 50 minutes. She come back. There was an awful commotion in the kitchen. She comes back and she sets a TV tray up in front of him. Sets a tray down that has orange juice, scrambled eggs, bacon, and toast. She says, I told you. You forget, you're supposed to write it down. You done forgot my jelly. I don't know, I take breakfast over ice cream any day, but if you have your Bibles, just go ahead and stand. We're going to look at John chapter 20, verses 19 through 29 tonight. We're going to look at Thomas tonight. Thomas has got a bad reputation. We all know Thomas as being what? Doubting Thomas. We're going to look at Thomas a little bit tonight. The Word of God says in verse 19 of John 20, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto me, unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand and to his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, My Lord, my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, we do thank you for the nail-scarred hands and for the side, Lord, that was pierced for us. Lord, we lift up the children in the back. And Miss Gail, bless the time. To be one back here that's under understanding, we pray for that lost soul. To be one here out here by chance, Lord, that does not know thy son personally as their Savior. May tonight be that night. Lord, I just need a little strength right now. Have me behind the cross and help your unworthy servant just to preach just a minute, Lord. And Lord, we pray all the honor and all the glory will be received unto thy Son. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. If I don't get excited, I'll be all right, I think. We know three instances where Thomas appears in the Bible, and this being one of them. The other one's around John chapter 10, where Jesus found out that Lazarus has died and he's going to return back to Jerusalem. And that Thomas makes a statement, let us go that, you know, we may die also. And then, of course, the next time we see Thomas speaking is in John 14. Where Jesus Christ is telling him that he must go. And Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. And Christ says, well, I'm going home. And then we find Thomas once again here, doubting what the disciples had told him. But if you look at the story of Thomas here, we find the disciples, the rest of them are up in the inner room. It says, the Bible says, for fear of the Jews. But Thomas ain't there. You ever wondered where Thomas was at? Why he wasn't with the rest of them? Some have speculated that he was still out serving his Savior. Some would speculate that he was still out doing what he was supposed to have been doing. But that's not what the message is about tonight. Thomas, if you were to read your history, went on to about 54 AD. His missionary journeys went all the way down into India. Well, he was ran through and martyred with a spear. He is well known. He's called St. Thomas, of course, by the Catholics. Started many churches along through there. Did a great work for Jesus Christ. But we all know Thomas by one saying, and that's the doubting Thomas. Let's look at Thomas' condition just a little bit. Thomas has been with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. For the last 3.5 years, or the 3.5 ministry years of Christ that we know, when he had called the disciples to walk with him, Thomas was there. Thomas seen the miracles. He was there for the fish and the bread and the feeding of thousands. He was there when the 12 baskets of food were gathered. How Jesus could create out of nothing, being God. He was there the night when Jesus was asleep in the boat, in the midst of the boat, and the storm was wailing outside, and the boat was being tossed to and fro. And the disciples were scared, and they come down and they woke the master up.
simply said, "Peace be still." He controlled nature because he was God. Thomas was there. He's seen these things. Thomas was there when Jesus Christ was found witnessing to the lady at the well, the Samaritan woman. A place where Jews were not even supposed to go, that they would walk away from because of who the Samaritans were. But Christ had compassion. He was there when they tore the roof apart and they lowered the lame man down. He was there. He was there the day that the woman snuck up and touched the hem and the garments and she was healed. He was there when the 10 lepers were healed. He was there for 3.5 years. Thomas was there. He knew and he beheld who Jesus Christ was. He knew everything that he did without a shadow of a doubt. Matter of fact, the only place that we don't find Thomas was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And we know who was there. But in the garden that night when they drugged Jesus Christ away, when they took him away, excuse me for saying drug, because they didn't drug him, he walked with them gladly. But he was there. He was there for the mockery of the trial. Thomas was there. Thomas was there when they crucified him, when they beat him, they plucked his beard. They hung him on the cross to die. He's seen his Lord and his Savior. His ridiculed body, his beaten body, his blood-stained body, he's seen it all. Thomas was there. But yet when somebody tried to tell him that Christ was risen, his response was, "Unless I shall see his hands, the prints of the nails, and put my fingers into the prints of the nails and thrust my hands in his side, I will not believe." Well, what Thomas is saying is that you have to show me. You'll have to prove that he's real. I want you to think about something. Thomas watched his Lord and Savior get beat. Thomas watched and heard the lashings go across our Savior's back. You know, some would argue that there was 5 strips of leather hanging off the cat of 9 tails. Some say it was 9. I don't care how many you say it was. You take 5 by 39, that's 195 furrows that somebody laid across our Savior's back. You take it 9 by 39, that's 351 furrows. I don't care if it was 195 deep gouges ripped by fish hooks across our Savior's back of 351. That's pain. From here to here, they tore our Savior's back apart. Thomas was there for that. From where he plucked and pulled his beard out, Thomas seen that. He seen all that Jesus Christ went through that day. He seen him and he beheld him as he suffered and he hung upon the cross. He heard him when he cried out, "It's finished." He seen the darkness of the 3 hours of God turn his back upon him. He was there. Yeah, he may have had a little doubt when somebody said that he had risen. But look at the other disciples. They had to run to the grave and see. They didn't believe at first. Jesus Christ, when he walked in the room, he had to show them also. But might I tell you something? We got a bunch of Thomases sitting in our churches today. In our churches today, we have people that's been sitting here since they were in the nursery. They've been hearing the stories of the Bible. They know Genesis to Revelation better than some pastors and preachers. They could part the Red Sea and throw the stone better than David probably could. They can tell the stories of the sheepfold. They can tell the virgin birth. They can quote more scripture than some Bible scholars, but yet they still sit in the pews and they doubt the Savior. Why? Because they've not seen him. Thomas walked with him for 3.5 years. He's seen everything that he did. And we got people that's been sitting in churches for 30 and 40 years or 20 years or teenagers been in there for 16, 17 years have not missed the meeting. a church meeting and still do not know who the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. Why? Because they have not seen the nail print hands. They have not seen the side that was pierced. Oh, they know all about Him. They did not behold Him. They can tell you how Moses brought upon the 10 plagues. They can tell you about the burning bush and Moses, remove your shoes, for this is hallowed ground. They can tell you the stories. They can tell you all about Elijah and Elijah. They can tell you about the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Boy, they can spit it out left and right and probably never miss a beat of any of the Old Testament stories or prophecies. They still ain't met the Savior. They still ain't seen His side. Ain't seen the print in His hands. Why? Because we ain't showed Him. We haven't showed Him who He is. We sit here today saved ourselves. And we know Jesus Christ for who He is as our Lord and Savior. But I think a lot of times that's where it stops. I think it stops right there. I think that's where we quit learning about who Jesus is. I think that's where we quit investigating, quit going any further. I think we lose interest after that point a lot of times. What I'm talking about is to have such a love for our Savior that you spend quality time with Him each day learning just about Him. He becomes so important to us that He becomes our favorite topic in life. Y'all bear with me. Your mom and your dads. How many stories can you tell me about your dad and your mom? How long can you set me down on your front porch and reminisce? Tell me everything. You tell me about your dad's and mom's, your birthdays. You tell me about probably about the first car or truck they had. You know, you tell me about their favorite thing to do, their favorite sayings. You can tell me about those things, can't you? You can tell me the do's and the don'ts. You know what would aggravate your parents, their favorite meals, their songs. You can tell me about those things, and that's perfectly okay. Your children. God bless us with children. You can sit hours upon hours telling people about your children. You can start out with the day that they were born. And you could probably not stop until you reach to today's date and never miss a beat of time. Just boom. And it would probably come off just natural. And without no hesitation. It would just be there. Used to, we had photos, Rolodex of photos we show people. Today, we drag out cell phones and we start going through pictures about like this speed, too. We do that, right? It's easy for us to do that. And then we can talk about our own lives. Yes, we can. It's easy. We live those lives, right? But yeah, when we go to sit down on a street corner, we're out knocking doors to talk to somebody about Jesus. We get about 30 seconds in and we run out of things to talk about. Maybe 3 or 4 minutes for some of us, and then we run out of stuff to talk about Jesus. We run out of things to converse about. I believe our Bible tells us that John wrote that there was so much about Jesus that it wouldn't fit in a book. Is that not what our Bible tells us? But yet we don't know enough about our Lord and Savior to fill up a 10-minute conversation with a stranger. And we wonder why people are sitting in the pews of churches doubting who Jesus is. Because we don't know Him ourselves. We haven't taken the time to study our Bibles and to know Jesus Christ for who He is. He hasn't become that important to us. He doesn't mean that much to us. before as we did, we should be able to sit down and talk about Him. We should be able to meet somebody on the street corner and start to tell them about Jesus Christ and how that He was virgin born, and over in Isaiah 9:6, and how He is wonderful and a Counselor, Almighty God, and the Prince of Peace. And then you can walk them through Luke 2, how He was virgin born, and then you can keep on trucking all the way through the way He nailed Himself to the cross, because He put Himself on the cross. He gladly went there. Well, yes, why did He go there? Well, let me tell you why He went there, friend. He went there for you. He went there for me. Well, why did He do that for? Well, the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save all that was lost. Well, what's lost mean? Well, let me tell you, I'm glad you asked me what lost is. The Bible says all is lost. For all is sin that comes short of the glory of God. We don't know our Jesus like that. We don't know Him well enough to sit there and just talk about Him as He was with our friend. And He is our friend, and we should know Him like that. Not only is He our God and our Creator and our Savior, but we should know Him in such a way that it becomes a natural thing to talk about our Lord and Savior. It becomes so natural that it just rolls out of our mouth, as if it was a joy and a pleasure to speak His holy name to somebody. For there's no greater conversation that we could have with anybody in the world than that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But yet we don't know enough about His life to speak more than 5 or 10 minutes to somebody. Now we can get some of the Bible out there, but most of the details we probably mess up on. Why? We don't care. Because if we cared, we'd know. If we cared, we'd study. If we cared, we'd dig into it and find out. If we cared, we'd learn about the carpenter's son. If we cared, we'd learn about who He was. What did He do between the time that we last seen Him teaching in the synagogues until He later come up and He's 30 years old and He walked out as Savior, and John the Baptist introduced Him as, "Behold the Lamb." What did He do in that mid-time? You ever thought about that? What was He doing? You know the stories. You know His purpose. His purpose was what? You. His purpose was you. But you, me included, don't care enough to learn about Him. We need to figure out who our Lord and Savior is so we can tell others in the world who He is. Thomas asked, I only wanted to do one thing. He says, I want to see the nail print hands. I want to see the pierced side of Him. Look, I walked with Him for 3.5 years. There's people that sit in churches all their lives and know every story and still don't know who He is. We are saved here today, a lot of us, and we still ain't quite figured out all who Jesus Christ is. Because I'm going to tell you, if you really knew who He was, you'd want to know more about Him. Because there's no end to Him. There's no end to His love. There's no end to His mercy. There's no end to His grace. And there should be no end to your desire to learn more about Him. For your desire to go out and tell others about Him. You know one of the worst struggling programs this church has? Soul winning. What did Jesus Christ come to do? Win souls. You tell me you love Jesus. You tell me you want to know who Jesus is. You tell me that. But yet the worst program we got here in this church is soul winning. The least people show up for it. Why? We don't know Jesus. Because if you truly knew who Jesus was, you'd have a burden for lost souls. Because that's what His burden was. He came to seek and to save that's what was lost. That was His mission. That was His journey. Jesus shows up into the room and reveals Himself to Thomas. He allows him to put His fingers into the prints of His hands, into His nail, His pierced side. He allows him to behold and to see who He is. And as soon as Thomas does this, his, what does he say? My Lord, my God. He realizes after 3.5 years, the light comes on in Thomas's head, and he realizes who Jesus Christ is. My Lord, my God. It is our job to, as Christians, to learn who Jesus Christ is in so much of a way that we can paint a picture for people, that we can sit down beside people and start to tell the life of Jesus Christ. That when they get up, not only do they believe that we know who Jesus is and that they know that we love Jesus, but they should get up rubbing their hands. They should get up feeling the sides. They should have such an impression of who Jesus Christ was by the story that we tell them, that they can see the prints of His hands. That they can see the pierced side. That they can feel the anguish and the pain of Psalms 22 and Isaiah 53 as our Savior bled and died on the tree for them. We should be able to paint that picture for them. We should be able to walk them through the stories. We should be able to tell them what the swaddling clothes meant, how He brought Himself down from heaven while still in heaven, but brought Himself down to the lowest thing on earth, so that when He grew up, He covered from top to bottom. That no man was left out. That He walked in every person's footprints. He had understanding of every person's anguish, of everybody's pain. He lived where everybody lived and lived where nobody lived. He came to fill the infirmities of every man, because He came to save every man. We need to have that understanding that when we go out to talk to somebody, all my life has been so bad, I've done this and I've done that. Well, there ain't nothing you've done the blood of Calvary can't cover. He's been through it all. He lived it all, He walked it all, and He died for it all. You need to understand, but we have to learn our Jesus like that. We have to understand who He is and to see Him, not only as our Savior, but see Him as God, see Him as a spotless lamb, also to see Him as what Matthew seen Him as a king, see Him as Mark did as a servant, as Luke did as a man, and John did as God. You have to see Him as Jesus' apostles did, as they ascribed to them in their gospels. We have to be able to do the same thing for people to be able to relate. It does not take much for the devil to get somebody distracted while you're out there trying to witness to somebody. And if you don't know Jesus like you're supposed to, He's going to win. And He wins over and over again. Why? Because Jesus ain't our best friend. Or if He was, we'd know Him like our best friend. We know every ins and outs. Thomas had something. He said, I just want to see Jesus. Can you show somebody Jesus today? And I'm not talking about the Bible. Just show them in the Bible. We got thousands upon thousands of people sitting in churches today that know the Scriptures and are lost and dying and going to hell. They know what the Bible says. They read the verses, but they have yet to see Jesus. We need to show them who Jesus is. But we have to know who He is ourselves. From the virgin-born baby to the God in heaven, the Creator of all things. Can you paint the picture? And when somebody leaves your side, they can see the Lamb. They can see the carpenter. They can see the dust-covered shoes of a man to walk in the stained places they walked. And they can believe that He died for them. Can you paint that picture for them? Can you show them the nail-print hands and the Spirit side? Let's stand. Father God, we love You. Lord, and we thank You for Your dear blessed Son. Lord, the altar time is Yours. Help us, Lord, to see Jesus Christ
in all His glory. Lord, to learn Him, to know Him better than what we know ourselves. For there's a lot of people out there, Lord, that knows the Bible, but Lord, they haven't figured out yet who Your Son is. Help us as a church. Show them, Lord, who Jesus really is. Lord, may You have the honor and glory in Christ's name. Amen. The altar's open. Does your life show people who Jesus is? From start to finish. Can you describe the Savior and all His wonderful attributes? We need to do a better job of teaching people who Jesus is. There was Savior in His great love. How He bled and died, but Lord, how He walked. How He did it all. For you and I. Do you know Jesus Christ not only as your Savior, but do you know Him as a Lamb? Do you know Him as a man? Do you know Him as God? Do you know Him as a carpenter's son? Teacher, as a friend. Can you tell somebody about Him and they believe that you know Him? Some prayer requests.